6 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. This is, of course, the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison in from our Nova M Hollywood studios, where it is comfortably warm today. Mid-70s, zero humidity, no clouds, but a contrail. Kind of normal weather. Mike is taking the day off to surprise Kathy. It is, of course, her birthday. And like the good husband, and we know Mike is such a total family man, he decided to surprise her. So right about now, he's going to come bounding through a door. She just was looking around the studio, couldn't find him, was freaking out. And he's surprising her. He's going to take her out to dinner and have a nice romantical birthday. So awesome. We love you, Mike. Have a hell of a good time and a great long weekend. And, of course, everyone will be back on Monday. It's Martin Luther King Day. It's going to be a big day, politically a major big day, not to mention sort of a flashback for so many of us is from Martin Luther King's original dream. Where are we in that timeline? Have things improved greatly? We saw the presidents today. God, it's so horrible. You turn on the TV and there he is. It's like watching a chimpanzee doing agonistic behavior, leaping around a cage, and yet somehow it's supposed to make sense. And his solution to the pollution of financial, hideosity is to just create more of the problem that started this thing to begin with. And it's interesting, when we look back at a lot of the monkey shines in the last 10 years, some of which Mr. Clinton was completely involved with, he certainly helped deregulate the entire mechanism, but as it ran loose and all the money flowed upstairs, now we had these major tax cuts in the last number of years, which of course exacerbated this thing and started the bloodletting like nobody's business. His solution is to give us all $300. Woo-hoo! Now, the idea is that as responsible adults, we'll all go pay our credit cards off with that $300, and the economy will burst forth back into explosive, blooming, daisy-like flavor. Of course, most people, so fed up, so horrified, so depressed, are going to go roaring off and just drink $300, go to $300 worth of movies, and just sort of celebrate. And his thinking, of course, is that if I hand you $300, it'll start new jobs. I don't think so. And for those who, by the way, might do as he suggests, and it's still not exactly concrete what the fantasy land is for fixing the recession, but if we were to actually go pay our credit card bills off, well, what happens? Let's see. We pay the credit card bills off, and the money goes right back up to the very people who started this mess. So once again, the money goes back up to the top 1%. So fixing the problem by feeding more money into the problem means the problem now has more money, and you end up again with nothing. So it really is just endless circular monkey shines, and somehow, some way, conspicuously missing are people actually talking about the real stuff. I mean, you've been, as always, watching CNN and MSNBC and watching the endless spate of pundits with their great, great amount of wisdoms and knowledge, never once bringing up any of this stuff until about a month ago, as if everything was just fine. And then you have guys like Dennis Kucinich, who've been talking about it for well over a year, and he is conspicuously missing from everything, somehow cut out by NBC, whose parent company, of course, is General Electric, that runs 103 nuclear power plants. And Dennis is, of course, against nuclear power, so we won't put him on the NBC TV set and all that stuff. We have a conversation with Dennis Kucinich coming up. Also, in spirit of hearing the voice of the underdog, seeing as the what do we call it, to be polite? Let's refer to it as the establishment media, seeing as they don't prefer to give voice to people who are mildly agitating. We're going to do that for you. So we're going to have a conversation with Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel, who was on with Mike Malloy here, a couple of months ago, and sounded a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. I think he's mildly more focused tonight since it's kind of the real deal, and he's got his last hurrah and has gotten through his flu. So he's going to talk to you, too, about what he thinks he can actually do at this point. And Dennis is going to talk specifically about being cut out by the networks and how, you know, basically the utility companies, if you will, I love it when Dick Cheney says, if you will, how they've really hijacked democracy in so many ways by selecting for you what you get to see and what you don't, even though you technically still own the airwaves. So he's going to look at that, comment on that, and give us some ideas of what he's going to be able to do to get into some of these further primaries down the road. So you want to hang on to that. Plus, we've got some conversations, a lot of other stuff. And as you know, this is your Friday, and in spirit and celebration of Mike, you get to do a little ranting tonight, too. A little Friday fun phone frolic. So let me give out Mike's numbers right now. Keep it easy. Keep it simple. It's 800-989-1480, 1-800-989-1480. And there's so much going on that you definitely need to decompress, so you'll have plenty of opportunity to do that tonight. Huckabee, one of my favorite kind of interesting scurrilous candidates. As you know, it is no secret anymore that one of his big goals, apart from recreating the tax standard for everybody, but changing the Constitution to fit more in line with God's law. Is that exciting or what? And that's been pounded all over the place. But a lot of this has echoes and reverberations. And one of the things we might do tonight is, instead of just looking at the what, and there's more what than there are hours to even get to it, discuss it, or anything, but let's look at the why we're getting the what. In other words, instead of talking about the problem, let's talk, or the symptom rather, let's go down to the source of the symptom. Like, why is all this stuff going on? Who's getting what? And what's the purpose? And really, what's the human nature behind all this stuff? Because Noam Chomsky teaches us, very simply, once we understand people's assumptions, we can then predict their patterns, we can predict their decisions, we can predict their behavior. So let's look at what the assumptions are from the media, from everybody else, about the different candidates. Look at the assumptions that Bush and Cheney make about other people around Earth, and let's start to look at what's going to actually happen in the future here. Have some wonderful, delicious audio of His Excellency talking via satellite to different troops, trying to make them feel good, and it is one of the greatest audio burlesques you're ever likely to hear. It is so beautiful, so terrific, you're going to be horripilating in anticipatory delight. It is truly bizarre and revolting. You get to hear that, too. You've never heard it before. Roll some tape on it. It's something you're going to want to play over and over. Plus, we're going to take a look at Tom Cruise, who here in Hollywood, which is where I'm sitting right now, is once again perpetually in the news. Not for such great reason, but he's sort of acting like Huckabee now, and some stuff about Scientology and his connection has leaked out, and there are now websites that feature Tom Cruise. Apparently some video escaped, and it's not on YouTube, it's actually appearing on full-on websites where he's talking about Xenu and SPs, the invasion of the SPs. You may not know about this, but it's apparently a lot more dramatic and a lot more threatening than any of us ever who are worried about SPs, whatever that is. The invasion has come, and we're going to hear what this could mean for all of us. America, what a peculiar and odd place. Still an enormously splendid place we live in, and it is our job, as always, when it comes down to politics, to remind them that they work for us and us not for them. Plus, Aaron Russo, a guy whose name you might have heard, a great political activist, a great progressive who passed away from cancer a couple of months ago, had some moments with him talking about the national ID, which is at the top of everybody's mind. And how this came about, we may as well just have numbers tattooed on us, and we'll take a look at that. So lots to go, including you, especially you. It is your show, as always. Mike is out with Kathy right now, providing bottles of wine, planting wet, moist lips against her soft cheeks, and Yes, exactly. Having a bit of fun, frolic, mayhem, and merriment. Again, our numbers here on the Mike Malloy Show are 800-989-1480. Harrison with you in our Nova M Hollywood studios. You can always check us out at NovaM.com, and there's also a link to my website, GoHarrison.com, for a look at some of the stuff I do. I'm heading off to Sundance tomorrow to do a little rabble-rousing, and I'm going to play you a conversation with Al Gore, finding out why he didn't run for president, as well as what the green thing is all about. Is it really real, despite swinging Dick Cheney, standing up there with his wire glasses twisted around his sconce, declaring, it's all a myth? Well, most of the earthlings don't think it is, especially former Vice President Al Gore. All that and more as we continue here on the Nova M Radio Network. It is the Mike Malloy Show.
I need to tell you the full story. I didn't go to vacation Bible school to be spiritual. I went because my sister had gone the day before and said that at Bible school, you could get all the Kool-Aid you wanted to drink.
Hey, Mom and Dad, give your kids the hottest action figure of the year, Gitmo Joe and the Torture Team.
Go, Joe!
Push Gitmo Joe's back and hear him bark out orders.
Tell us where Osama is. Where are the WMDs? Connect the wire to Ahmed's genitals.
That's right. Gitmo Joe talks, and he'll get any terrorist talking with cool accessories like the waterboard and the hand crank generator.
Go, Joe!
Collect all the members of Gitmo Joe's torture team, including Lindy the Leash Girl with lifelike cigarettes.
Get naked and get on all fours!
And Gitmo Joe's faithful companion, Shotzi the Attack Dog.
Go, Joe!
So get your kids Gitmo Joe today.
Gitmo Joe may be in violation of the Geneva Convention. Parents should supervise all torture sessions. Batteries not included.
Go, Joe! Yay!
Yeah! Post-Christmas fun. Why, the toys just keep rolling in, always with just the right flavor. 22 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. This is the Mike Malloy Show. I'm in our Nova M studios in Hollywood, California. And as Mike is off with Kathy tonight, it is her birthday, and he's given her a surprise to hang out with her. So we know he's going to have a little mayhem, just the way we like it. So you go, Mike, and go have a good time. Got some tons of stuff going on. This has been one of the most hideous weeks. If you happen to have a lot of stock, you're probably drunk, and you may have earned that right. I mean, just on every level, it's just fairly putrid, but we're hearing all the good news, certainly on TV. Then a few others are giving the bad news. His Excellency the President was on today in his usual in articulo mortis, this kind of grunting babble, which, by the way, his financial solution. I took a little speech that he gave a short while ago when he was trying to repair the unbroken Social Security. That's the best part. This thing has been so brilliant ever since it was invented. They've been looting it from LBJ. Kennedy looted it. Nixon. Everybody. Which is why in the last 20 years, your payroll taxes for that have gone up 20%, which is how we're funding a lot of stuff. And, you know, it's broken. It's going to run out. Well, you keep doing that, it probably will. Otherwise, it's really quite brilliant. And with that, Bush described how to fix this thing, which isn't, of course, broken, using fantastical Bush mathematics. And I'm not a math guy per se, but simple 1 plus 7 does equal 8, except when you have that Australopithecine knuckle walker sitting in the White House trying to describe this. So instead of just playing you, Bush, and we can all get a yuck because it's really hard not to either pee your pants or whatever when you listen to his voice, I used my computer, and you know, a lot of our computers have this voice recognition software where it will read text in a computer voice, and therefore there's no inflection or, you know, Texan accent or anything that might ruin the purity of his message, right? So listen to his financial explanation and know it is almost identical to what he delivered today to stop the recession that he claims isn't happening. And fully appreciate this because maybe a couple of you can tell me what he's actually said. Again, the computer has no dialect. The computer has no fumbling way. If Mr. Bush, it will say the words the way he did. So let's take a listen. I've labeled this cleverly, cut number four, just like Mr. Bush. Take a listen.
Facing an enemy that is ruthless and cold-blooded, an enemy that
actually
has
that would be the other cut number four. This would be the cut number four. Don't you love that? See how good the math is here in this country? Let's see. cut number six. We'll just make that four a six and add two. Cut number six.
I am a computer-assisted text translating program. I will now read the exact text of a speech delivered by President George W. Bush, EXPLAIMING, his plan to save Social Security. The text follows in 1 second. Because the all which is on the table begins to address the big cost drivers. For example, how benefits are calculated. For example, is on the table, whether or not benefits rise based upon wage increases or price increases.
Take
There's
notes.
A series of parts of the formula that are being considered, and when you couple that, those different cost drivers, affecting those changing those with personal accounts, the idea is to get what has been promised more likely to be or closer delivered to what has been promised. Does that make any sense to you?
It's he actually said that. Does that make any sense to you?
There's a series of things that cause the like. For example, benefits are calculated based upon the increase of wages, as opposed to the increase of prices. In other words, how fast benefits grow, how fast the promised benefits grow, it will help on the red. End of text reading.
Oh, boy. So, I'm sure a few of you who have these incredible fast-sparking dendrites and synapses of the brain could actually understand what that meant, but it is what a teacher of mine in college referred to as word salad. And that's kind of what he was saying today. It's just too beautiful. Oh, my. Let me give out our toll-free numbers again. We'll go to the phones in just a couple of minutes. 800-989-1480 here on The Mike Malloy Show. 800-989-1480. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. It is a beautiful night here and there as we continue.
It's written in blood on Guantanamo Bay.
Martin Luther King Day to you. 35 minutes past the hour, The Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. Our numbers here, of course, are 800-989-1480. That's 800-989-1480. 1480. Coming up tonight, we've got a conversation with Al Gore. We've got a conversation with Dennis Kucinich. We've got a conversation with Senator Mike Gravel, two of whom are running for president, one of whom was a president for 8 minutes before the Supreme Court decided, sorry, and have a nice day and go save the world. So in a way, there was a positive side to all that. We're going to actually talk to Al about why he didn't sort of jump in so far at this race. Some people are still positing, by the way, that he's going to let Hillary and Obama and everyone else do all the heavy lifting, and then he just sort of steps in at the end. Wouldn't that stir it up? And boy, is it already stirred up. It couldn't get more convoluted with the caucuses or the not caucuses or the whatever, and the Republicans can't even, who knows? Well, actually, I'm pleased about that to a certain degree. But it is seriously nuts. So we'll see what he does and what he says along with the others. Let's go to a place I used to live. I used to live on the west coast of Florida. We've got people queued up here and there. Let's go to Florida to Doug on WINZ. And welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison here with you. Doug, I think we got you there. There we go. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, hi.
How are you, sir?
Wonderful. You know, maybe I'm just unappreciative of the great job that this George Bush does for us. But I haven't been able to see a single thing that he's done for the American people in 7.5 years. And everything he's done, he's screwed up. He's responsible for hundreds of thousands of people dying unnecessarily, bankrupting our country. And now all of a sudden he thinks that he's going to figure out how to save us from going into a recession, huh?
Well, you totally nailed it. I mean, apart from the million now, and this is, of course, using the numbers that are furnished by non-Americans, a lot of whom are furnishing the numbers happen to live sort of out there and have dead neighbors and such, but it's definitely up to a million. And you're so right on looting the national treasury in every way, ripping off, stealing, deregulating, just down to the molecule and leaving us high, dry, and ranting. And his solution, of course, is to do the very crap that got us into this to begin with, the rich get richer under Bush. And, of course, now the solution is to pass whatever $300 you and I get back up to the rich. His plan is that we go pay our credit cards. And now that you can't declare bankruptcy and now that your interest rates are so high, you just give it right back to them. So how is that going to stop a recession except on one day a lot of people go buy beer, get drunk, and go to the movies? $300, I mean, what does that buy you, honestly, in Miami?
I mean, I think it's going to make it worse.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, think about this. We've seen the beginning of the fallout from the subprime rates. Then you've got the prime borrowers. These are people with good credit. And they're in big houses. And the Washington Post yesterday, the LA Times today, wrote about this hasn't even begun to impact people with the big expensive houses. So that's going to start to downturn. So it's going to get a little tough here and there. And I think a lot of people who are into finances and such are suggesting, as they did in the 1970s, to go buy CDs. You know, remember those certificates of deposit? Even if you get 3% or 4%, at least everything doesn't vanish. But I would pull out of any kind of mechanics that involve them, thievery, or anybody allowed to monkey with your dough at this point, because grim it might become.
What does he think he's going to do, run to Paraguay and everything's going to be fine?
Interesting you say that, by the way. You have obviously heard about the real estate agent who has been showing him land down there.
In 98,000 acres.
Well, you know, it takes a little room to have a little ranch down there. This is the plan. I don't know what that means. I do know that there is some very limited extradition treaty with them, like, I don't know, half a sentence or something. So maybe that's pleasing in some way. But I'm kind of happy with the Germans, ironically, the biggest lovers of peace, it seems, on Earth right now, apart from some other parts of the world, who, if Rumsfeld and others step foot on German soil, they get hauled into a new version of the Nuremberg trials. It's kind of exciting.
It certainly is.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, listen, take care and have a great night, all right?
Thank you.
All right. We'll see you, Doug. Harris with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Let me give out our numbers here, 800-989-1480. How about Frank, equally in Miami? You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you great. You sound in terrific monophonic sound.
Good.
Just the way we like it.
I'm call. You said you touched on several things. The main focus of my call had to do with Aaron Russo. I'm thrilled to hear a left-leaning, I guess. I assume you'd agree with that label, possibly. I hope
for Aaron
to call to invoke Aaron Russo's name is a good thing for a libertarian like me, actually.
Yeah, totally.
Don't know if you guys know, he ran for president in 2004 as a libertarian, and he did exactly the same thing that Ron Paul did this year. Actually, I'm sorry, he did that in 1988. And the reason I'm calling is because I really hope the Democrats can begin to embrace the many heavy libertarian influences that are within the Democratic Party. You know, all the civil liberties angles, and a lot of what Ron Paul's talking about as far as the Federal Reserve goes, and the fact that Ben Bernanke has us by, you know, I'd be more descriptive if radio wouldn't censor it. But
it wouldn't. But if you were on TV, you could actually swear, get naked, and sodomize a horse.
Exactly.
But well, radio, we say things like poo-poo and darkness,
right,
and that's
right,
about
right.
as close as we can get.
You know, the sad thing is we have people in Congress and the committees who have to do with finance who really don't know anything about economics. And one of those was seen and heard yesterday on CNBC, actually, during the question and answer session with Ben Bernanke when she asked him who he was. She didn't know who this person was, a Democrat by the name of Katyn, or I completely forgot her name. She's a Democrat from Ohio.
And but she does know how many moles Paris Hilton has on her left labia.
Exactly. That's the problem. We have a bunch of bureaucrats up there who are busy passing laws, and none of them really understand economics, which should be, in my opinion, and in the opinion of lots of people who are realizing its importance now, economics should be first and foremost on the minds of every parent with their kids.
Well, and also, you'd think they would scream at Bernanke and ask this guy, how come you're incapable of criticizing the very policies that got us into this mess?
Of course.
I mean,
absolutely.
That's his job, is to be
absolutely.
Transparent. Transparency and the Bush administration.
Yep. Paul Volcker is being invoked now from the 70s and 80s because he had a strict policy of not loosening the money supply the way that Greenspan did, which is what preceded this ridiculous artificial boom. Anyone who studies anything about economics could have told you that the correction that follows is directly proportional to the deception which precedes it. And that's exactly where we are right now. And I really hope, I hope I'm not, you know, doing something wrong here, but I really hope people really pay close attention to, well, first of all, I have to give credit to the Democrats. I think both Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel are the two truly honorable, honest Democrats, and they deserve, you know, respect for that.
And you're going to be hearing them later here. I've got a private conversation with both of them talking about these very issues, but sort of broader issues, as why these two underdogs, why these two guys who stand up and articulate the very things that most sentient beings are actually going through are somehow deleted, somehow excised, somehow expurgated, expunged, and debrided from the wound of democracy. As only a doctor could say, and I'm not one. I just play one on the radio for 4 minutes. This is, like, really seriously revolting. So they're going to give their perception as to why they've been cut out. You and I know. We've been watching them. We've been watching Kucinich say, you know, but up is up. And he's been doing the non-Orwellian dance, where we know up is down, right? War is peace. Et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to be hearing from them and others. Thank you so much, my friend. 800-989-1480. Harrison here with you. This is the Mike Malloy Show. And, of course, you are here, there, and everywhere. I originally was on every day here in Los Angeles, and then I'm doing some TV and some other things right now. And I love Mike Malloy. He was a guy who, when I was doing a nightly show, when he used to be on Air America and switched over, there was a time in between, so we used to bring him on a lot in L.A. and hear his perspective, because there are very few people who are really willing to stand up and fight for you and me, and the key thing, willing to bear discomfort. To bear discomfort for what they know is right. These are the heroes of the day. Not the make-believe John Waynes, not all this other crap that stand up, but people who actually will jump in front of a bulldozer to save a petunia, a tree. That's brave! You stand up and fight a bulldozer with your hand. You know what I mean? Those are serious heroes. So we will continue. More from you, more from me, all, again, in delicious monophonic sound, just the way we like it. A little crackly AM radio as well. And then the beauty of satellite as well. All mixed in for fun, frolic, mayhem, and merriment. It is the Friday Phone Frolic here on the Mike Malloy Show. Harrison with you in Hollywood. More to come.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century.
Girl, I want to take you to a gay bar. I want to take you to a gay bar.
I'm Reverend Ted Haggard. I used to fight my homosexual urges every single second, but not anymore with Once Daily Not Gay At All.
Not Gay At All is clinically proven to fight your latent tendencies.
Just one pill in the morning, I don't even think about a sweaty, shirtless Matthew McConaughey until the next morning while I'm lying alone in bed thinking about... Where's my pill bottle?
Not Gay At All is the number one treatment for those urges you've had since the fifth grade.
Thanks to Not Gay At All, my doctor says I'm now completely straight. Isn't that right, Doc? You done back there?
Yep. A clean bill of health.
Not Gay At All should not be taken with crystal meth or in the presence of a gay prostitute. Side effects are rare, but include headaches, nausea, Republican Party memberships, and an occasional oily discharge.
Ask your doctor if you're gay enough for Not Gay At All.
If urges keep you from living the life you've created, purge the urge with Not Gay At All.
Harrison on the Edge.
51 minutes past the hour. Mike Malloy Show. Harrison in for Mike tonight. Of course, it is Kathy's birthday. Mike decided to do a little surprise, have her waiting, waiting, waiting for the show. He doesn't appear. She freaks out. He appears, takes her off to dinner. Little moonlight, assuming it's not raining or something, mooning, something, something good, something fun. So we're excited about that. We are taking a look at all the different things. This has probably been the most roller coaster ride of a week, from everything from finances to politics. I mean, I really can't remember in recent memory. It's a wonder I have a memory. I think when you get over 20, it's gone, or 30, or possibly 40, or 50, or 90, or whatever. But man, oh man, is it nuts. Let's go to the warmer parts of the world, Tempe, Arizona. Say hello to Joe. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison.
Hey, nice to hear you.
You too, Joe.
I've called you before, and you didn't like it too much, but I'm going to try again, okay?
Or is it you who didn't like it too much?
Yeah, probably the latter.
Yeah, perhaps.
Hey, I'd like to know, I'm a Republican here in Arizona.
That's why.
And I'm a big Mike Huckabee fan. I'm also trying to warm to Barack Obama, even though he's making it difficult.
Why, because he's black?
Anyway, Mike Huckabee...
Oh, was that your answer to that?
If you got a racial problem, I don't, but...
Oh, okay. Well, why are you trying to warm up to him, then?
Well, because I'm not happy with my party shoving a Mormon down my throat. You see, I wouldn't talk to him.
Oh, so wait a minute. So you just said, if I were a bigot... And then you respond with, you're not happy with your party shoving a Mormon down your throat.
Hey, I ain't a bigot.
What if it were a Jewish person or Italian or
a
homosexual?
I ain't a bigot against black and white. I don't like Mormons. Okay, it's a cult. Don't you know anything?
I'm learning from you, Joe.
Now,
my mind is wide open,
laughter.
Like yours, wide open like
laughter.
A sieve.
Are you laughing at me?
No, that was a girl.
Oh.
Here, listen. Say scream.
I'm terribly sorry.
That was apology.
Okay. Then I can get back to my point. Anyway, what do you think of Mike Huckabee, some of his positions? He's coming out pretty...
Missionary or doggy style?
What? Hello?
Hello? You're on the air.
Look, when you talk, you got to talk more respectful if you're going to be on the radio.
You mean respectfully as an adverb, or...
What I'm trying to say is...
What are you trying to say?
Mike Huckabee has some very strong positions against the gay people.
And he should.
You wouldn't happen to be one of those now, would you?
One of what, a Huckabee supporter?
No, one of the queers.
Oh, you want to date me. No. I knew there was a hidden agenda in there. The way, Joe, you've been hanging on for 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Well,
usually
you,
only a man hiding in the dark like a Reverend Head Tagger.
No, I'm
waits
a Republican.
For the
I'm a Rush Limbaugh Republican. You understand?
And, of course, we know the Republicans, the ones not having gay sex.
No, we don't
Larry
do that.
Larry Craig included. Because it's a wide stance. How is your stance, by the way, Joe?
Hey, you didn't answer my question. Are you a queer? Yes or no? Get to the point.
I got to think about that. Hold on. I got a girl sitting here. Let's ask her. Am I queer?
Define.
She wants you to define queer, Joe. Can you do that for us?
If the purse fits, wear it.
I do wear it. It's a lovely purse, Joe. And you know what? When you purse your lips like that, I have a reverse peristaltic surge, just so you know. Well, that's too bad. I almost had a date with Joe. Can you imagine how unpleasant that would be? That repressed, shriveled... Well, anyway, we'll go to a different call, shall we? Say hi to Will in Lansing, Michigan. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison.
Hey, you know that bit that I Have a Dream bit you played?
Yeah.
That wasn't as sickening as what happened to me at the polls on Tuesday, which also happened to be Dr. King's birthday.
Yeah.
They asked me to present my photo ID, my driver's license, at the polls in order for me to vote.
Are you a person of color?
No, I'm not.
So they wanted to see your ID so that
they could somehow deselect you, right?
ID. Uh-huh.
And, you know, they asked specifically for my driver's license. And, as far as I'm concerned, I had to pay a tax to obtain that driver's license.
You know, a lot of us see that really clearly because, let's say you were in New York City and they said, let's see your driver's license. And you're in New York City, driver's license? You mean my subway license?
Right.
I mean, there is no such thing. And then you have to go out and jump through hoops in the middle of a work day and ask your boss, I need to go to the DMV for 9 hours. I mean, it really is a very effective thing. We're going to also take a look at the National ID Act, where they're going to be implanting radio frequency chips in all kinds of things on your person. If you didn't know, Will, and thank you, by the way, for bringing that to light, they're going to be, in my U.S. passport right now, I have a chip embedded in it. And I am trackable by satellite anywhere I go. Right now, they think I'm in bed because I leave the passport in a drawer next to my bed. So I'm forever in bed. But they are tracking in your passport. I'm told by a reliable person that if you throw it in the microwave for 20 seconds, as you know what happens to metal in a microwave, no longer than 20 seconds, the paper will turn color. But it could be a way to disenchant the chip. We'll look at that and more as we continue. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios, 800-989-1480. Stand by for nudes.
I wanna be a Republican. I'm tired of doing what I should. Wanna do what I can. Grab as much as I can. Keep it all for me. Cause life is a party, and the grand old party is the party where I wanna be.
Lower taxes are God's plan. Global warming helps my tan. Give a gun to every man to protect us from the hairy ants. You know you're better than all those non-Americans. There's no need to join the Klan. Just become Republican.
Yeah!
I'm tired of thinking about you when it's all about me, 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 me. With values strong, they fight me off sea. Now I found a place where I am embraced to be selfish and mean.
Like things as they used to be. Miss the old Confederacy. Government should let us be, but not your body. Tired of diversity. Defund universities. Set the corporations free. Come and join the GOP.
907. Harrison with you in our Nova M Hollywood studios. About a half a mile from the Hollywood sign, which is, well, they did light it up once upon a time, and then they said to hell with that. The four neighbors who own huge tracts of land couldn't tolerate the amount of light bouncing off that thing. I mean, thing is massive! Massive! So now it's dark the way it should be. It really is quite the irritant. Although I will say that hiking up to the thing, which is completely illegal, is one of the thrills of my life. Why do you do this? Because let me just clue you in on this. If you want to send the Christmas card that kills everything else, sit on top of the H of the Hollywood sign. You can have about 20 minutes before the cops get there. That is the Christmas card that nobody else will have. Trust me on that one. Mike Malloy Show. Mike is off tonight. It is Kathy's birthday, so he decided to give her a surprise and take her out and suddenly not have a show. She thought she was going to be working tonight, so they're out having a great time. And so good for you, Mike. You go, baby. 800-989-1480, our number's here, 800-989-1480. And, of course, you can always listen to us streaming anywhere across Earth at NovaM.com. And you'll see a link to my website, which is, did I say NovaMradio.com? I meant to say that. I deleted the radio because it is, in fact, radio. And I didn't want to be redundant in the redundant kind of way. So now that I've done it that way, it sounds as though I really meant it, even though I didn't. So now I sound like a Republican, having corrected that which never was there to begin with. And my website is GoHarrison.com, by the way. We're taking a look at a bunch of different things. This has been quite the Herculean week, to be sure. We've got a conversation, private, independent conversation, just for you. You won't have heard it anywhere else. Talking with Mike Gravel, a couple of underdogs running for president, to find out what their deal is and how somehow, conspicuously missing from the public discourse, from the public cameras, at the network level, are people like Dennis Kucinich, people like Mike Gravel, and we're going to be talking to them. Plus, we have a little audio from Tom Cruise, who's just causing endless problems here, talking about Xenu and something called SPs that have invaded the U.S. This may be the problem, we're told, with the economy, with the recession, with the war, the underlying problem, the underlying cancer that afflicts the national consciousness are the invading SPs. So we have some audio of Tom who actually loses it in this. You won't have heard this before because somebody asked him if he'd actually met an SP. We're not sure what they are yet. Somebody, because I've never met a more brilliant crowd than people that listen to progressive radio, that's for sure. And Mike cultivates a very cool bunch. If you know what an SP is, would love to know. But we're going to play you that as well. Joe, who was a caller from last hour, wanted to know about the queers and such. And it occurs to me, speaking of Mike Gravel, who we're going to be hearing shortly, when Mike was on with Mike Malloy a couple of months ago, he was really begging one of the fellas at the staff in Phoenix that helps operate this show to come out of the closet, who has, I think preceding that interview, was out, but sort of one toe out, a bit of an arm, and a bit of a necklace, and that was about it. So I was just thinking, imagine a guy running for president of the United States begging you to come out of the closet. Come on out! The water is warm! I'm the president of the United States! We love gay people! That's impossible. That's why this guy has nothing. Like, no, you know, forget it. We don't want to hear from this. I mean, what a ballsy statement, huh? Come on out! Oh, you're gay! That's great! Join my campaign! So, Billy, did I just say your name and out you? Billy, congratulations. No, I know this about Billy. He's non-practicing, though. He's non-practicing. He's Catholic, yes, exactly. And good at it. Catholic with a lowercase c, which just means sort of universal. He's a universal homosexual, or as we like to call it in the radio business, a homosexual. All right, let's say hi to Julio in El Paso, Texas. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Julio.
Oh, yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm swell.
Oh, the guy you had on there earlier that was talking about how he's trying to like Barack Obama.
He's trying.
But he couldn't. He said because he was black. Oh, that was hilarious. I've heard you on the Mike Malloy Show before a couple other times. I just want to say you're funny.
Thanks.
And I'm glad you're on tonight.
Yeah, now you're listening on Sirius Satellite, right?
Com. Yes, I am, sir.
I used to be on that a few years ago. I helped when in the very beginning of OutQ, if you're familiar with that channel.
Oh, yes.
I did mornings on that for a year when we launched, and that was a hell of a lot of fun. Did that from Hollywood. Really enjoyed it.
Do you have any other... is it okay if I'm not sure if I asked this on the air or not. Do you have any other radio programs I could tune into by chance?
Yeah, if you just check out my website, I'm going to start a big old fat podcast in stereophonic sound, my friend.
Okay.
Sooner than later, probably the next week, actually, we're going to have some ongoing stuff. Being here in Hollywood with access to a lot of really cool stars was something I was doing on a daily basis on our local big talk station here. And but from a progressive standpoint, in other words, never who does your hair and nails. One of the really cool things you can do, because as we know, when a celebrity endorses something, that's our version of royalty. Example, if Rosie O'Donnell says, well, you know, I kind of wash my blouse and tied because it does a good job, their stock's going to go up. That top shelf product's going to fly off. So you have them say the same thing about politics or about something good and beneficial, whether it's the environment or whatever, it actually sticks. I'll give you an example. Somebody like Patrick Stewart, you know, Captain Picard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to put him in jeopardy with his job or his managers or agents. But let's say you ask him something like, well, if you were to take the role of Dick Cheney and play swinging Dick Cheney, you know, in a movie, how would you prepare for the role? Now, he can't say, you'd throw up right in front of you a great hurling emesis all over your shoes. So instead, he's likely to say something, well, I guess I would sit in a dark room and fill it with blood. And then let loose 100 white cats while I sat there nakedly with barbed wire. And this way he says nothing untoward about Mr. Cheney, but you get a volupt image painted so brilliantly by Monsieur Picard. So that's some of the fun stuff that we'll be doing.
I have one other question, and then I don't want to take up your time or whatnot. But how come
it's your time. No, I'm taking up your time, and thank you so much.
How come someone like, I don't know, I kind of like, you know, read a little bit about Kucinich and whatnot.
Yeah.
How come people like him, or candidates like him can't get into the race more? I mean, cause I've read a little bit about him and whatnot and a couple other people that, that aren't front runners. Is it because of the media or what exactly?
You just said it. You just said it. Because of the media. It's very, very important for us to remember that everybody ought to be on in a democracy. But corporations are more into a corporatocracy, if you will, or plutocracy, or oligarchy, which is a mispronunciation of oligarchy, but it seems to fit better, as in oil companies. They like to control what is to their best benefit. People like Dennis Kucinich are muckrakers. They're agitators. They ask icky questions that are awkward and unpleasant, and people like Dennis actually want an answer. We're going to play, coming up in just a few minutes, my friend, a conversation with Dennis Kucinich asking exactly your question about why in hell NBC didn't put him on, and what's he going to do tomorrow, the day after, and the day after, because he's still in it full on. Same with Gravel, and I thank you for your call, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate your time. God bless.
All right, pal. Take care. God bless to you, too. Harrison with you from our Nova M radio studios in Hollywood. In for Mike Malloy. Mike is off with Kathy. It's her birthday. He's given her a special surprise, whatever that means, by being available for her tonight. So you go, baby. NovaMradio.com. You can hear us streaming anywhere. I'm at GoHarrison.com. Would love to say hi to you and email back and forth in my really bad barbed wire typing. Do the best I can. As we continue, our numbers here, of course, 800-989-1480, 800-989-1480 at 16 past.
So tell me what you expect doing the things you do. Now what you expect, what you expect from me. You started playing your game the way I did the same. So
Reagan, A Life in Letters is the publishing event of the year, but letters alone cannot tell the full story of America's greatest president. Introducing Reagan, A Life in Post-it Notes.
Nancy, buy more jelly beans. P.S. Red jelly beans, good. Red commies, bad.
Nowhere else could you find such a clear statement of our 40th president's values and opinions than on little yellow squares of paper stuck to the White House fridge.
Nancy, please wash my overalls. Use Tide. P.S. Not the Tide of Marxism that threatens our very way of life.
Reagan, A Life in Post-it Notes, chronicles his thoughts on politics, religion, and even sex.
Dear Nancy, the Berlin Wall has fallen. And when I get home, so will that little lace number I bought you for our anniversary. P.S. Growl.
Reagan, A Life in Post-it Notes is available at Boredom's Books. Buy your copy today and receive the bonus volume, Reagan, A Life in Grocery Lists.
Eggs, milk, and what else? Oh, yes. Eggs, milk.
22 minutes past the hour. Mike Malloy Show. Harrison in for Mike, of course, from our Hollywood Nova M radio studios. And it seems remarkable that lately every Republican is invoking the name of Ronald Wilson Reagan. They're all suddenly Reagan Republicans. Or, as Romney pointed out, I was going to burp, but I didn't because I care. That's why it took a second to pause. Romney points out George Bush the First as his other hero. So, isn't it exciting? What a team to follow. The first ones who really created the template for hell that we now live in. Whew, it's a miracle. 800-989-1480, our numbers here, 800-989-1480. We've got a conversation with Dennis Kucinich. In fact, let's go to that right now, and you can hear him talk about this whole ordeal with NBC having deselected him and what's going on and what the future's going to look like. And this is not the invisible man. I mean, this guy is a serious congressman. He's run. This is his second time. He's a well-known character. The Europeans are very keen on seeing him have success one way or the other. So here it is, Dennis Kucinich. We don't have enough time for it, it turns out, so we'll do that coming up after the bottom of the hour. The next segment, as we like to refer to it in this complex radio world in which we sort of live, indeed. Meanwhile, let's say hi to Kevin in Phoenix. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Kevin.
Hey, how you doing, Harrison?
I'm swell, my friend.
You're doing a great job, I must say.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you're doing a great job listening.
Thank you very much.
I can hear the wax melting out of your ears.
I've got plenty of that. What I'm calling for is to give a shameless plug to a little event that we're trying to put together here for Sunday the 27th at Encanto Park. We're doing a Rock the Vote concert in support of Dennis Kucinich.
Oh, excellent. In Phoenix, right?
Absolutely.
Great.
And we'd like to invite any listeners out there, even if they happen to support Obama or Clinton, all are welcome. And there'll be plenty of local musical talent. We've got some people coming in from Vegas to play this. So we just would like people to come out. And
You got a website, Kevin? Some place where they can go check out more information on
well,
that?
Well, we're kind of throwing this together. So it's any website. You can go to DennisForPresident.com. I don't know if it's on there yet. Any other questions you could direct to me, actually, and I could, pass them on to the campaign manager for the Southwestern state.
All right. Well, you know, Dennis's websites run far and wide, and I'm sure that information's available there. So thank you so much. Yeah, it's funny. We did some Dennis stuff here, and while I would love to see Dennis in the Captain Kirk chair ultimately, it's unfortunately not likely to happen, as progressives even refer to him as, you know, a garden gnome or something or other. Unkind indeed, but... one of the great benefits of Dennis Kucinich is he is a guy who says that which the others won't. And it forces the Hillarys to have to actually acknowledge certain things are going on and to actually have to express a viewpoint, even though it's usually loosey-goosey and not exactly on point. but it forces the stuff. In fact, because of Dennis, we had John Edwards go nuts and unfluff his hair. Do you remember that about a week ago when he said it's the corporations? That's the problem. And I'm passionate. And I'm going to go after the corporations. And I'm going to tear them apart one by one and blow them apart and destroy them all. It was beautiful, wasn't it? And you never, never expected that out of John Edwards. And that's because of Dennis. So we're going to hear from him right on the other side of this exciting and lovely disco music. Plus, we'll be hearing from Thomas in Roseville, California, from Sanchez, who's streaming in Montebello, from Deborah in Lansing, Michigan, Greg streaming in Oakland, California, Woodstock, New York, and all the rest of you at 800-989-1480. Harrison with you, reminding you can hear us streaming anytime, anywhere at NovaMRadio.com. And through there, there's a link to my website, GoHarrison.com. Would love to say hi to you and keep you in the atmosphere as we progressives band together and create the world that we want to live in, much as the late Mr. Gandhi reminded us. It is 27 past. More to come.
Rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat. Don't tip the boat over. Don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat.
Story of survival in a society dying from within.
And your kids will love Apocalypto Happy Meals at McDonald's. Each Happy Meal has a free Apocalypto action figure, which you can engage in your own Mayan chainsaw massacre. And each figure is crammed into the temple-shaped box. Collect all 8 talking action figures, including director Mel Gibson.
I hope I don't offend any Jews.
Apocalypto is too violent for kids, but Apocalypto Happy Meals are too fun to pass up. Burger, fries, a drink, and hours of fun playing human sacrifice. Apocalypto Happy Meals for limited time at McDonald's.
34 past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Mike's out with Kathy. It's her birthday. Decided to surprise her, so he took the night off. And we're taking a look at this mayhem and partial merriment that's going on in the U.S. What a hell of a week, to be sure. 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480. We'll go to the phones in just a sec. First, let's hear a conversation with Dennis Kucinich, a guy that we've been talking about here and there, relevant to what he's been going through this week. You, and I have a right to hear the people who are running for president talk to us. And when they're cut out by mega corporations like General Electric, that controls nuclear power plants, that is the largest weapons manufacturer in the world with relationships with Lockheed Martin and others, decide, well, this guy is going to ask and say things. We'll get rid of him, too. This seems to be part of the problem. So just for you, here's Dennis talking about what's going with him right now.
Dennis Kucinich, it's always a pleasure to talk to you because you're one of the few who's been able throughout the last number of months to articulate points of view that simply would not be present were you not to bring them up to begin with. Really, things that are forbidden to talk about. You've always talked about corporations, about lobbyists' influences and such. And recently we've seen John Edwards pick up the bandwagon and start to speak your words. He's now being pushed out. But what you've done, I think, as respects NBC and, of course, its corporate master General Electric, the largest weapons contractor on Earth at this point, you've conspicuously vanished, poof, from the public airwaves. Do you think it's because you are an agitator, or do you think simply there just isn't enough room on the stage at the network level with all their funding?
NBC, it's owned by General Electric. General Electric is in the nuclear power plant building business. And they also, of course, have to find a place to put the waste, and Yucca Mountain is a place where the industry wants to store the waste. I've taken a very strong stand in saying that we ought to have a carbon-free and nuclear-free energy policy and move towards sustainability. that would cost GE, NBC's parent corporation, a significant part of its business and its profits. GE is also involved through Raytheon with arms manufacturing. I want to end the war. You know, this war makes arms manufacturers a lot of money. These corporations who have defense and other industry businesses shouldn't own broadcasting networks, because they can use those networks to keep a war going, make a lot of money. They can use the networks to protect the status quo with a very bad energy policy, and on and on.
But at the end of the day, we're talking about the electric companies, the utilities, guiding democracy. That seems to be not only upside down, but inverted. But at the end of the day, we're talking about the electric companies, the utilities, guiding democracy. That seems to be not only upside down, but inverted.
You know, this is really a question of whether we're going to have debates that have the public interest protected anyway, and whether networks can determine who the president's going to be.
Well, funny how the networks, the public airwaves, those being the over-the-air broadcast channels, are indeed still, even in 2008, owned by the public. Hence, these things ended up on cable, where it's pay-per-view, if you will, subscription-based. You pay for your cable, and therefore they can decide what you can and cannot see. But we've still got other debates coming up. We've got the Carolinas and such. Are you in the same predicament, or has your recent legal activities to counter this, to make public this, to make protest about this in defense of democracy, will this give you better footing to actually make an appearance in the Carolinas?
See, what happens is that, you know, it's four debates already that I've been excluded from. And the problem is that you've got these candidates who are there who essentially agree, and where's the debate? And again, this isn't about me. It's whether or not we are going to have a president elected who isn't beholden to these interests, who is not controlled by any corporate interests, whether they're located in New York City or in Washington, and whether the networks, the TV networks, can determine who the president's going to be.
Harrison here with you. We are talking to Democratic presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich, who has somehow been excised, expunged, purged, expurgated, debrided from the wound that is democracy, even though I think still in this year, 2008, the public still technically does own the airwaves. How is it that they can get away with this stuff?
Right now, they can determine who people see on a day-to-day news coverage, and they can determine who people watch. And we should be very concerned about that.
Yes, we should be concerned on so many levels. I mean, the average person does what they're instructed to do. They tune into the network news. They're told, in effect, that adult supervision comes out of NBC, will untangle all the snarls of the news for you and give it to you straightforward, right? Just like CNN being the only name in news. And yet these same networks, let's take NBC, for instance, that has somehow decided that you, Dennis Kucinich, you, a guy who talks about real issues and could expose their monkey shines behind the scenes, gives a lead story like they did yesterday, NBC, in Florida. What could be more important to the public interest than this?
I'm Jessica Stillwell. Tonight at 11, a local neighborhood is scared to step outside because of what they call a killer deer. Details tonight on NBC 2 at 11.
Good God. What I don't understand is why NBC doesn't just honestly end it like this.
A local neighborhood is scared to step outside because of what they call a killer deer. Details tonight on NBC 2 at 11.
Yep, that's politics today, isn't it? 41 minutes past. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios, Mike Malloy Show. Let's say hi to Deborah in Lansing, Michigan. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Deborah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry I didn't catch his name, but I'm calling about the Queer Blaster. I was just amazed that somebody would wait online that long to do such a poor job of queer baiting. And I just had to call in, that's all. But I'm cool because he didn't say a thing about dykes, right?
Who, he?
Yeah.
I don't recall any conversation relative to dikes, dams,
okay,
or sluices.
Well, good then. I'm fine with him. But, you know, I bet you well, whatever, that he calls himself a Christian. And to me, that's just pretty indicative of the, what do they call themselves? The evangelicals. And growing up in a family with a ton of missionaries in my, well, immediate family, I've never heard anything like that. So I think he's just having trouble getting through the...
Well, they are. I mean, I call it the, I'm going to call it Harrison's postulate number 18, the okra theory. Do you know what okra is?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Okra is this, to me, I mean, some people love it. I think it's nasty. It's a slimy green tube.
Oh, it looks
like
okra?
Celery, right. It's got these hideous seeds.
And
I know, everyone does.
But
cigarette?
Go ahead.
Yeah. And people boil it and mix it with shrimp and make gumbo. I guess it's tolerable. To me, I think a thermonuclear weapon on this stuff is a good idea. And so opposed to Oprah am I that I just don't care about it. It's not on my radar. I don't think about it. I don't fantasize it. Why? Because I simply don't like it. But if I were to go into the grocery store, Deborah, and walk by the frozen food section, whip out a mallet, smash the glass, pull out the okra, jump up and down, tearing the bags apart, wearing golf cleats, screaming, "Okra!" One might say that I had a personal connection with okra.
You forgot peeing on it,
I did forget that part, and there's probably a reason. But because for some that might be good. But I don't like the stuff. I don't think about it. I walk by the frozen thing. I don't know about it. But if I did that, just like this, whoever this guy was before, who's so obsessed with the notion of me coming out of the shower with a single towel wrapped around my waist, water beads dripping down my manly chest.
Yeah.
One might think he's paying too much attention. Or as Billy Shakespeare taught us in King Lear, methinks the lady doth protest too much.
Yes, a very adequate quote for him, but I think that he can't find his way through the soccer balls and the hockey pucks to get out of the closet. So he needs to work a little harder at that.
Actually, let's hope he doesn't, because frankly, I don't think anybody wants him on their team. It's like Michael Jackson. I mean, there's a man without a country, without a human population. Straight people are like, oh, Michael Jackson, oh, no, he's not one of us. Oh, no. Gay people, oh, hell no, not my, no, you know. Men, no, he's not one of us. Women, I mean, you know, it's a poor thing. It's a sad thing, indeed. So you go behave, Deborah. Go behave. Okay? All right. That's probably a good wine she's drinking. 45 past.
I'm crazy for trying, and crazy for crying, and I'm crazy for loving you.
Things were pretty bad down in Beaverton after the big Beaver River overflowed and sent Beaverites running for their lives. Well, those poor folks lost just about everything, and they almost lost hope. But that's when the people I work for at Philip Morris stepped in. We airlifted in all the supplies that the town folk desperately needed to get their lives back in order.
People of Beaverton, we're here to help you.
Are you from the Red Cross?
No, the Philip Morris Company.
You should have been there to see their faces when every Beaverite was given a carton of Marlboros and a block of expired Velveeta cheese.
Here you go, little girl. You need matches?
The people at the Philip Morris Companies saw this tragedy as an opportunity to help people.
and get around that pesky ban on broadcast cigarette advertising.
Hey, lady.
Yep.
Can I trade in my Velveeta for another carton of Marlboro?
Sure thing, kid. You need matches?
Working to make people think we're making a difference. The people of Philip Morris.
51 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you, your new best friend. It is the Mike Malloy Show. Mike's out having a little birthday frolic with Kathy. Did a little surprise party for her tonight. So we're here in our Nova M Hollywood studios. Numbers here, 800-989-1480. That's 800-989-1480, and streaming everywhere on NovaMRadio.com. And through there, you'll see a link to my website, GoHarrison.com, where we can continue just stirring it up, baby. Stir it up. Let's say hi to Jack in Philadelphia. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Jack.
Yes, sir. How are you tonight?
I'm groovy.
Yeah, glad to hear it. You know, it is amazing to me that the abuse that people such as yourself and anyone who has a different thought process, like Dennis Kucinich, that what you're able to put up with and still remain dignified with yourself and who you are, that kind of, at times, just amazes me. What's going on right now with Dennis, and I'm not a supporter of his. Actually, my horse got blown out of the race very early. I was a supporter of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
But to be able to just keep this man off the airways and not allow him to express his views, whether you agree with them or not, is not the point. The point is you should be able to hear these views. This is America, the last time I checked. But apparently we've lost our way somehow, and I just wish people, I mean, start pulling, you know, I had GE stock. I don't have it anymore. And not because of this. I got rid of it before because I just, with Raytheon and all that, and I'm against the war.
Yeah, me too. I did too.
You can't hold on to that's the only way to make these people take notice is to hit them in the pocketbook.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, democracy is really important. But I like the definition that Mussolini gave for fascism. Uh-huh. I think he's probably somebody who's non-controversial when it comes to what's his definition of fascism. And he basically said it's the perfect intertwining of government corporation.
Government and big business, right.
Yeah, and
that's
big
correct.
Business. And this
that's
is
correct.
Sort of where we're at now, where they can decide willy-nilly, and I don't even know what that means, willy-nilly, but they can decide that we're just not going to feature this guy because, well, he says things. It's not supposed to work that way. If you're going to call
it's immaterial
it, yeah,
what
exactly.
His point if of it, view is.
Right.
We
if it's
have
a political
right
debate, it either is a political debate or it's not a political debate. If it's a
correct,
show
sir.
Featuring our guest this evening, then call it that. But,
yes.
You know, we're all becoming, even the ones that haven't been paying attention, are beginning to get savvy to this. And I think people are really pissed.
Well, I mean, whether or not you agree with the man, and I don't. I really don't agree with some of his views, but it's a legitimate point of view that should be heard.
Yeah.
I mean, democracy is a fragile instrument. And it, without vigorous debate, it shall certainly die. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we know this from Ben Franklin, who constantly reminds us about, you know, liberty and freedom and without, however that wonderful saying, I probably should have brought it up.
I
can't remember it, but you know what I'm talking about.
We need vigorous debate. Me and you can disagree on many things. We don't need to be disagreeable. And right now, everything is in a first-strike mode in this country. You know, we have speedboats that come near ships. We want to blow them out of the water. You know, no one takes a deep breath, steps back, and gives another individual a moment to express their point of view. And it's a sad state, especially if you think about it. We're coming up on Martin's birthday now, and there was a man who, at the peril of his own life, and he knew he was going to be killed, I believe that, still stood fast, and it wasn't for black America. It was for America.
Well, it was. I mean, his greatest speech, in my view, was the Riverside speech about the war in Vietnam. And that, if you play that speech today, Jack, that speech, you will hear Iraq. You can literally switch out the word Vietnam with Iraq. It is precisely what's happening today. It just gives you goosebumps. It's amazing. And, you know, since you're in Philadelphia equally, and I mentioned Ben Franklin earlier, you may or may not know my grandparents. Well, you won't know this part, but my grandparents' neighbors were the Franklins. I think Benjamin Franklin the Eighth or something or other. And they were geezers like my grandparents. But they had Ben Franklin's family Bible. And in really old families in the United States, that's where you wrote your diary, because the Bibles were filled with a bunch of blank pages. And in it, he listed all the different prostitutes, because he referred to himself as a whoremaster and had over 60 women. And he would go to Paris, and we knew he spent a lot of time there, and bring back the right flower ladies, as he referred to them. And, you know, the part we were taught in schools, he used to take moon baths nakedly because he felt the rays of the moon, well, clearly did something good. But, you know, the founding daddies don't get more fun than that. And I say restore them fully, and not as Republicans. They do it, but only when they get caught. And that's what repression will do it for you. 57 before the top. Make that 3 before the top. More to come.
Is a paid public service announcement from the International Rifle Association.
Let's face it, most of us will never be rich. Hell, we probably won't even be successful, and that's pretty damn depressing. But, as usual, with every problem, there is a solution. Hi, I'm Jim, and I'm here to tell you a little something about handguns. They scare the shit out of people and intimidate them into giving you whatever you want. That's right, handguns. Think about it. Need some cash? Rob a bank. Don't have enough money for beer? Call up a convenience store. Take some chips and pretzels while you're at it. It's all free if you've got a handgun. Some son of a bitch cheating on your girlfriend? Kill him. It's a simple solution to life's complex problems. All you have to do is wait the 5 days for it, and happiness is just around the corner. Hell, if you don't want to wait the 5 days, who cares? Buy the damn thing off the street. Just buy a lot of handguns. It's a great alternative to working problems out and to be considered a population controller. Yes, handguns. They just might make you famous.
7 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. We are talking about this, that, and the other. It is your Friday. Fun, frolic, mayhem, merriment. And our numbers here, of course, toll-free, 800-989-1480. We're going to be hearing a little audio from Tom Cruise, who, since I am here in our Nova M Hollywood studios, he is in the news today. Apparently, CNN and some others found a website because they do the most important news, as you know, whether it's Britney Spears having taken a melon scoop and tried to carve out her gliomas or whatever the hell it is, or any number of freckles or veins on the proboscis of Ron Jeremy, or whatever the lead story is. So Tom Cruise, of course, is the lead story. Why? Because he's been talking about SPs and how the United States has been invaded by SPs, and they're everywhere. Let me tell you what this means. We're talking about ubiquitous SPs. This may be the cause for the alleged recession. It's alleged because it's real, but the Republicans think it's alleged because it'll go away if you take your last remaining money and give it to them. And then magically it will go away, as magically it appeared. But the SPs are invading. So he talks about that. And when somebody asks him, has he ever seen an SP, whatever that is, he breaks into that cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs laughter that we saw as he assaulted Oprah on the couch by leaping up and down in wild, bug-eyed histrionics. So, therefore, is the same. So you could probably find that video by Googling Tom Cruise crazy or something or other. It's out there. Yeah, or just Cruise Me or something. So just so you know. Also, we're going to be talking very briefly with a guy named Brett, who grew up in the Soviet Union. He's a young guy in his 30s and is talking about real parallels between growing up in the Soviet Union and now under the Bush administration. Oh, my. So we're going to hear it right from the horse's mouth. Although his mouth does not look horse-like, it's still a phrase we use because we really don't have another one in English. Let's say hi to Thomas in Talk City, Roseville, California. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Thomas!
Yes!
Hey!
Okay. You know the part about I'm the decider?
Yeah, the decider, Bush.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always visualize the president as the person more or less by sitting in the crow's nest over seeing what the people want.
You know, it's
as an
really
insider,
hard.
Not as a decider.
The insider? Incisor?
Incisor?
Like a tooth?
No, for insight.
The inciter.
Yeah.
But that could have a, you know, as a homonym.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with a homosexual.
Yeah, well.
A sissy boy.
As a homonym,
an inciter, he incites things.
Yeah. He decided he's the decider. But anyway, what I wanted to talk about.
But I'm the decider.
Yes, like that, right?
Right.
Yes.
What I wanted to talk about is in the beginning, he bought his way into the presidency with the money he gave back.
With the money he gave back?
Yeah, when he was first elected, he was going to give so much money back. He gives money back.
Oh,
to
you mean where we all got $300 and I got 32 cents?
Yeah, well, some people got a Cadillac.
Really?
Well,
oh, you're talking about way up on the food chain.
You're right.
Like in Grosse Pointe, Michigan.
The idea was this money was supposed to get reinvested.
Yeah.
But now there's places around the world, such as China and several others, where if big company with a good investment agency knows that they can invest money and get anywhere from 18 to 25% back, why would they be investing in America?
Good point.
A big share of that money, I don't think, ever made it to America. Maybe some of the smaller people built a few businesses so they could get big enough so they could invest in China, India, Turkey.
Thomas, let me ask you a question. You sound as though you've been around a little bit. Are you? Can I ask you roughly how old you are?
I'm 65.
So you've seen a fair amount of change in the last number of years through different administrations. Have you ever seen anything that mirrors what we're looking at today?
No. In fact, you know, I was raised in a sawmill camp that was owned by the company.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I remember walking around the commissary where all the fasteners and loggers and on the weekends while everybody congregated and drank beer and played pool and threw coins. And they'd be talking about politics and religions. They'd fall out and fight a little bit once in a while, drop back with their arms around each other and talk some more about politics and religion. And this is back in the 40s and 50s, and we had a wonderful country. And then all of a sudden, the big money finally achieved their greatest, indoctrination. They got everybody to say two things I don't talk about, religion and politics. And
right.
Stuck their head in the sand.
Right, especially if you're Dennis Kucinich or Mike Gravel or anybody like that. Thank you, my friend. Have a great night. 800-989-1480. Our number's here, 800-989-1480. Of course, you can hear us streaming live anywhere on our little orb known as Earth simply by going to novamradio.com. And if you go there, you'll get a link also to my website, goharrison.com. Would love to stay in touch with you. Mike is out with Kathy tonight, decided to do a little surprise. It is her birthday, so she thought she was showing up for work. Couldn't find Mike anywhere in the studio. Was freaking out, you never know. And, of course, he explodes with flowers, taking her out to dinner and being a totally cool husband. So we love that. Let's say hi next to Sanchez in Montebello, California. You're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison.
Harrison, good evening to you, man.
Hey there.
First of all, let me be terribly fashionably late here by wishing you a happy new year, since it's the first time I'm talking to you here.
Thank you.
And here in front of the millions and billions of listeners across the planet, can I ask
billions.
You? Billions, yes.
Yes.
Can I ask you something very, very personal?
Well, I, obviously, in public, I can't. Well, no, you can't.
Aww.
That would upset everybody.
Well, then let me ask you something.
I'll tell you what. I will be totally transparent, which is the way I like to do it. I love telling the truth, even especially when it hurts.
Well, are you a Kucinich supporter by chance?
I am a fan of Kucinich.
Okay.
If he were supportable in a large enough way, if there were a juggernaut of support behind some of the things that he looks at, I think he's a very reasonable, well-rationed or rationable being.
Yeah. Okay. Well, no wonder that you're in such a good mood tonight. It's just been a very, very crappy mood for a Kucinich supporter.
I know. It's tough. I mean, I really love everything about him. I've put together a couple of fundraisers for him in the past here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
I have a video on my website right now. We did a little TV thing for 10 minutes and really got down and dirty on what is the plot of the play here. So, I'm really a fan of the guy. Unfortunately, he doesn't have whatever that Disney magic is that we're so married to in this country.
Yeah, that's Obama this season around has got the Disney magic. But
yeah, cool. Yeah. And here's my solution to that, by the way, Sanchez, because it's something we talked about when the Democrats won back Congress and Senate a while ago. I was cautioning, as probably you were, as probably most people listening right now, yippee-ki-yay, they take back the House and such. But unless we're chasing them around with tasers and cattle prods and forcing them to do the next right thing, it's meaningless.
Uh-huh.
And we've just seen two more handouts, just wads of cash going back to Iraq and Afghanistan. No holds barred, no problem, no codicils, no problem. Have a nice day, Mr. Bush and Cheney.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
wrong. We've got to remind them they are our employees and not the other way around. We are citizens, not subjects of any kingdom.
Yeah.
So if Obama were, and I'm sorry, I'm just slightly wound up here, if Obama or Hillary were to get the great seat, they must constantly, I want to see their receipts.
Uh-huh.
I want to know where they had lunch. I want to know what the tip was. I want to know who they're sleeping with, and I have a right.
Yeah. Yeah, we all have a right at this point. You know, the receipts I want to see right now, one thing getting back to Kucinich for a moment, because I do want to talk to you about this. You know, everybody was giving him hell for asking for a recount in the New Hampshire primary. And I don't know if you looked at the Brad blog lately.
Yeah, about the Diebold business.
Yes, and they're coming up with numbers right now. There were added votes for Clinton, for Edwards, and Obama. So, you know, they're blaming Kucinich or treating him like Ralph Nader. And then tonight, he's barred from the Texas primary. The U.S. Fifth Court of Appeals barred him because Kucinich is refusing to fully support the party's eventual nominee. So even when Kucinich tries to do the First Amendment rights to claim him for his own, they're barring him. You can't have it both ways. I can go on and on about this subject, man.
I know, but we have to go to break, so you can't, Sanchez.
Well, there
you go. You'll have to suffer with the rest of us, my friend. Hey, thank you for pointing that out. Very important stuff. 17 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show.
Democracies, generally lead to warlike governments. You know, please vote for me. I promise you war.
I've got them Bush war blues. I've got the Bush war blues on.
Trapped in a strange world, must defend his honor, his woman, and also that weird cult thing he's into.
L. Ron Hubbard was not a nut. He was the sanest man who ever lived.
Tom Cruise is the last Scientologist.
It's as legitimate as any other major religion, only more so.
The last Scientologist. If you call him gay, he'll sue you for $100 million. But if you call his religion crazy, he'll cut you in half, lengthwise, with a 4-foot samurai sword.
Nicole wasn't so into it.
He's even willing to die for Dianetics. He is the Last Scientologist.
What do you want from me? I mean, besides my fame, my fortune, complete control of my life, and, oh yes, my soul.
Tom Cruise is the Last Scientologist. Unless you count John Travolta, Jenna Elfman, and a few other gullible Hollywood airheads.
The Last Scientologist is now playing with your mind in a theater near you.
23 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you from our Nova M studios in Hollywood. It's the Mike Malloy Show. Mike is taking a little holiday off to celebrate his wife's birthday. And Kathy and the baby totally love a little daddy time tonight. 800-989-1480, our numbers here. 800-989-1480. And as we were talking earlier about the great joke that the mainstream media or the establishment media, really, is what they are, is while they're telling you how they're number one and they're most important and the first name in news and whatever, the top stories invariably are blisters and boils erupting on Hollywood buttocks and things of this nature. And then today, of course, a lead story is that Tom Cruise is on a website. I mean, that's big. I dropped everything. In fact, I tore up my voter registration card. I realized I'm somehow superannuated. I'm living in a cave. I clearly don't get it. I should be sitting gossiping all day, because that's really what matters. So apparently the story goes, I'm going to play a little audio here, is that the SPs, and this is part of the Scientology religion, and we'll play a little clip from South Park that really nets it out brilliantly shortly, but the SPs are everywhere. Everywhere. And that they're hiding under beds, and I think they're invisible. I'm not sure what they are exactly. We did put out a call, so any of you who knows what an SP is, looks like Greg in Oakland, California may have an idea. But this is Tom's reaction to, has he actually ever seen an SP, one of these ubiquitous, floating, invisible beings that are pestering all of us and creating recessions and all the other world's woes, including possibly responsible for the war. In short, they're the ones that don't get it. This was Tom Cruise's reaction, according to CNN, the most trusted name in news.
They said, so, have you met an SP?
I looked at them, you know, and I thought, oh, what a beautiful thing, because maybe one day it'll be like that. You know what I'm saying? Maybe one day it will be that. Wow, SPs, like, they'll just read about those in the history books, you know?
No, I actually don't know, and it was really hard to understand what in hell he's talking about. But as you heard, he lost it, went completely nuts. Not to say that being nuts or going completely nuts should in any way be linked with Scientological membership. It just happens that he had an emotional rupture right then and there when asked, have you actually ever seen an SP? And we have Greg in Oakland who says he knows what an SP is. Greg, you're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison.
Hey, Harrison.
How are you, sir?
Good. Big fan of Mike's, and I've just become a fan of yours. It's really good to hear a new voice out there, and I didn't even know you existed till tonight, because I have to stream Mike, because he's on at like 11 till 1 or something here. So
as long as you're streaming him and it doesn't burn, it's all good, my friend.
So he wanted to know what an SP is.
Yeah, give us the quick upload.
Scientology. Well, it just, you know, they've got their own jargon for everything.
Yes.
And it just stands for suppressive person.
A suppressive person? You mean,
yeah,
like Dick Cheney?
Well, yeah, he'd be a perfect example, I guess. And the whole, you know, Scientology thing is that if you're around a suppressive person too long, they, like, drain your energy and...
It's true.
I know. Well, I mean, in some ways...
or your economy.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Hey, thank you so much, Greg, for being a good guy and hanging on so long. Harrison with you, 27 past the hour.
Come on over.
here and I'll fill you in on how the Church of Scientology works. You see, Stan, Scientology was founded by a great man named L. Ron Hubbard. Mr. Hubbard discovered that negative emotions are actually caused by things called body thetans.
Really?
Yes, and being the genius that he was, Mr. Hubbard invented a way to get rid of those bad thetans. This is called an e-meter. It's the main tool of Scientology. You just grab hold of these handles as I talk you through past experiences in your life. I'll be taking readings here, and we'll be able to determine your thetan levels.
I'm sorry, I wasn't laughing. It was a wheeze. Must have been years of smoking years ago. 34 minutes past the hour. That was a little clip from South Park, where that's all I need to say. Harrison with you from our Nova M Hollywood studios. This is the Mike Malloy Show, 800-989-1480, our numbers here. And I want to introduce you quickly to a guy who grew up in the Soviet Union. And it's interesting because we were all told, I think, as kids about communism and all the rest of it, but really had no clue, have never really met anybody, per se, who's ever talked about it too much publicly. And Brett grew up and ended up in the Moscow Ballet and really a big deal there, but grew up totally under that oppressed system. He's a young guy. He's in his early... you're Jesus age, right?
Oh, no.
33?
Odd five more years.
39?
No.
Didn't Jesus... wasn't 33?
Yes.
They call that the Jesus age.
Yeah, this is the Jesus years.
So how old are you?
I'm 36.
Good heavens, man. Anyway, he's, as you can tell, middle-aged. I'm kidding. And one of the things he did was not only survive that, but he's moved here to the U.S. And what's remarkable, he is from the Czech Republic originally, is that he's noticed a parallel between what it was like there and what it seems to be like here suddenly. And this is no strange topic to any of us. We've been talking, you know, whether we like to look at the Military Commissions Act of 2006 or H.R. 1955 that's percolating right now, the Violent Radicalization Internet Act, which is a nice way of basically making illegal free speech. If you type a single word on the internet against the Bush administration, you are then a sympathizer of the evildoers. I mean, a lot of this is extraordinarily bad stuff, and he's seeing these parallels. And Brett, I want to welcome you to the Mike Malloy Show.
Hi, everybody. My name is Brett, and I'm not Scientologist. I don't qualify, though I wanted to go into business with Tom Cruise, but he said no.
Well, he says no to a lot of people when people are looking, that's for sure.
Well, actually, I had this great idea, and that's what I approached him. I wanted to start a big business, hoping it's going to end up corporation, you know, very senseless, merciless corporation, and we're going to sell common sense. But it didn't. He really didn't like this idea.
Perhaps he was busy that day. But let's take a look at, let's just take an example, an average day where you're in Russia under this system, and you were forced, I guess, to learn German, or you were in whatever. I mean, it was kind of
It was actually multiple language territory when you had to learn, obviously, your native language, mm-hmm. in the both version, in the ancient version, before it was affected by the Latin and the German, then the German itself, and Russian, like all Eastern Bloc.
Now, the government at that time, did it encourage you to whatever version of voting you had, for instance?
Oh, there was voting only for one person. There wasn't choice even between two people.
Like today?
Yes. There was only one person.
One party.
You just go and you vote for them. That's all. And in a jail go people who usually put the bill on the table and say, I don't participate in this. I'm against. So there were two reasons. You are against us, or you are completely stupid. If you are stupid, you go to the jail.
Yes.
And if you are against us, it means that everybody probably know about you. Then we can close you to the jail. We'll send you overboard, and you never come. You never can come back. So they ship you without anything, just like this, and you are gone.
You know what's interesting is, and we've been talking a lot about the media tonight, acknowledging, by the way, that this very thing that we're doing right now is part of the media, and I'm a fan of Jello Biafra's idea. Don't hate the media, become the media. And that's the beauty of this kind of talk radio, you know, whether it's on any number of wonderful broadcast stations, coast to coast or up on satellite, on Sirius Satellite or XM or whatever. Every one of you that calls in, every one of you that sends emails back and forth, everybody who blogs, you are becoming the media, which means that corporations like NBC, which tell Kucinich he's not allowed to be part of the debates, they actually have to compete with you for eyes and ears. So the more activity you create, the less reach they actually end up having. That's the brilliance. So instead of us all just hating the media, become the media. And Brett, when you were living in the Soviet Union, you guys, I think, understood that you were being fed a lot of nonsense and BS. Unlike here in the U.S., people really believe everything they see on TV.
They told them.
How come you guys didn't believe everything you were being told?
Because
by your media.
Because you are raised in a school to get as much knowledge you can, not as much knowledge you need or you want. Here I see the philosophy that if you want to be a doctor, you get only to knowledge or mostly to knowledge you need to, you know, do your work. If you want to be a lawyer, you focus on the law or, you know, in the government history, whatever. It's really important. And in Europe, those times was extremely important to have overall education first, absolute education. And, you know, some people, they repeat the level maybe even 4 years. If you didn't make it through, you have to repeat until you make it, period. It's very merciless. Some people will end up the high school when they were maybe 28. It was common. I mean, without any break. Because they just have to repeat, you know, the classes.
Until they get it right.
Until they get it right.
41 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. We're talking with Brett. Brett grew up in the Soviet Union. He's originally from the Czech Republic. Ended up mastering an extraordinary ballet skill. Rising to the top of his career, Moscow Ballet, all of this stuff, St. Petersburg, and ended up getting, I guess, a better way of living than the regular common people, although you're all technically common people.
Yes.
But like George Orwell's Animal Farm, some pigs are more important than other ones, right?
Yes. You are measured by your talents, obviously, and it's not you who really decides what you're going to be those times when I was little, but it's actually the government or the people who represent government who decide what your best talents and the first skills you actually can express.
So what do they look at a baby in a crib and go, hockey player?
No, they usually starts from the age you are probably five observing you and you are having file. Or we, everybody had a file, and they would
like
be describing.
Today, whether it's AT&T
It's not really. It wasn't anything bad. It was just observing what are you doing, how you're expressing yourself, and then evaluating where they could actually position you. I think that was very thoughtful then, because many of us actually became, the generation of us, we became very, and the generation prior us, we became very successful in our professions. So there wasn't much of the repression from the families, because the family really trusted the educational system.
Right. And hence, that's in line with answering why we, as Americans, watch anything on TV, and if it's in a news show, it is indisputable truth.
Absolutely.
Because many of us don't have a larger educational appetite, and so we don't have critical thinking, critical analysis. We're not able to deconstruct it, reverse engineer a statement, know any history behind it. And I think part of our education here is we're taught to believe.
And I think that the very big mistake of the education is to really tell everybody that you can be anything you want. So people want to be famous actors, and you see walking on the street people who almost sleep under the bridge with the dream that they're going to be actors in the age 45.
Yeah, so you've been in L.A. for a while then.
Yes. And then you see people who really dream at age 60 that they're going to be great inventors and, you know, having lots of the money.
Right.
Like, in a certain point, it's very important to face through that it's time maybe to get a help and find some, you know, more practical direction of the completing yourself, because your existence is a very important to your psychological balance.
Right.
And this balance, you know, if you have this disbalance, you are trying to focus on something which is given to you mostly for free. And those are medias. And the medias everywhere in every country are confusing, deceiving to individuals.
Right. I mean, in this country, in the United States, you know, the media is your mom. She tells you, as Patty Chayefsky's brilliant book, Network, which became a great movie, of course, that she tells you how to dress and how to shave and what cologne to wear and how to date and how to think and how not to think. Most importantly, how not to think and how to believe. I want to thank you, Brett, for joining us here and for being brave. Now that you have your green card, you get to say this stuff and feel good about it.
Finally.
And what are you going to do with your green card?
I'm going to find another career now that my heydays are over. Let's reinvent by ourselves.
Very good. That's the American way, baby. 45 minutes past the hour. Harrison with you. It's the Mike Malloy Show. NovaMradio.com. Past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show on the Nova M Radio Network. Thank you, everybody, by the way, for listening wherever you are. Mike has always cultivated the most extraordinary people, just the kind of chums you want to hang out in the sandbox of fun with. So I'm totally loving every second of this. We had a great guy on hold on line 8 here who just split a conservative and was all upset that I should dare have an opinion. It's funny how those, they're never troubled, or we're never troubled by them having an opinion unless they're hurting somebody. But just for us to possess an opinion seems so awful to them, because invariably they feel it's a personal thing toward them. But most interesting, and why he is so upset. And in just a second, I will, in fact, right now, why wait? This is an example for you, Jeff, of why I have a problem with Mr. Bush and Ms. Rice and Swingin' Dick Cheney and all the rest of these people. Because, just to put it in childlike language, to make it easy to understand, they're naughty. Naughty little kids who steal the cookies from the cookie jar. This was a wonderful moment when the presidents, via satellite, addressed the troops recently to let them know how proud he was of all the good work they were doing, and it was one of those rare moments where he wasn't handed a script on the podium, or B, his favorite routine, which is the IFB, which is a little unit they put in an ear, which is known as internal foldback, where they can talk to him as they are wont to do, whether it's Karl Rove talking in the ear and telling him precisely what to say or which reporter to go to next. For whatever reason, it wasn't really working. He was left there all on his own to come up with entire words, string them together into what you and I would commonly know as a sentence. And this is what the presidents came out with, addressing via satellite all the poor bastards over there fighting. They don't even know what anymore, without armor, without food, horrifying, on their 89th sortie, their 300th mission, years passing. This is the good stuff he says. And this, Jeff, this is why I think they're just downright naughty. Let's enjoy.
Facing an enemy that is ruthless and cold-blooded, an enemy that actually has a philosophy,
And so I want to thank you for being a part of this global war. And Iraq is a part of the war. When you email your families, you tell them how proud the commander-in-chief is. Government to based upon the knowledge that you defeat a backward, dark philosophy with one that's hopeful.
Yes?
That we've put in motion something that can't be stopped.
We are equally determined to isolate the extremist elements and to disable them.
Bring them on. I'm the decider. I hear the voices.
That's right.
When you email your families, you tell them how proud the commander-in-chief is. Government to
kiss my ass. A peace, free, and secure Iraq.
Commander-in-chief, educator-in-chief, I want you to know that the mission you are on is vital to achieving peace. And so I want to thank you for being a part of this global war.
That's right.
Starting with Richard Nixon and ending with me. You've got tremendous support here at home.
Uh-huh. 54 past the hour. Harrison with you. It is the Mike Malloy Show. I think we have time to squeeze in one more. Let's say hi to Eddie in Dogpatch, Alabama. Eddie, you're on the Mike Malloy Show with Harrison. Or
hi,
Edie,
Harry.
I'm sorry.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi. And let's not forget, is our children learning?
I don't know, is they?
Well, not fast enough, apparently. At least their parents are. I was watching the news hour tonight, and our Lord and Savior, Admiral Fallon, was on.
Oh, one of my favorites. He owns virtually every patent on everything they inject in the troops.
And he's supposed to, he's been held out by the left somewhat as the guy that's keeping us out of Iran. And standing firm, and it's not going to have it on his watch, apparently. But on the news hour, he was talking the party line. I felt cold chills down my spine. And, And, of course, you know, and isn't Huckabee's faith-based constitution a good idea?
If you have faith in whatever he would come up with, sure. But that's the problem, isn't it?
It's, you know, I'm just, you know, I would say that I'm looking forward to the election, but I'm not going to be happy about anything until I see them leave. You know, when I see the back of these scumbags, and hopefully someday in The Hague, and I know there is no God, so screw it. You know what I mean. Thank you, Harris.
Thank you so much. Thank you, and have a wonderful night. I want to hire her as a nanny. That would be good. That really would be good. Well, we don't have time to get to everybody. We've got Brian. Thank you so much. You're still on there. And Chris in Cave Creek, Manchester, New Hampshire, Seattle, Washington, Delaware, Arkansas, Florida, all over the place. Thank you all so much for spending time with me tonight. I love this. It's such a treat. Huge fan of Mike's. Great friend of Mike's. So this is just such a treat. And really, I appreciate everybody's participation. And definitely always hang tight with us here at NovaMRadio.com, where you can hear streams anywhere across the world. And if you'd like to stay in touch with me, it would be my pleasure, my honor. You can always get in touch with me through my website, which is GoHarrison.com. One word, GoHarrison.com. We're going to be putting out a series of new podcasts early and often, as they say. Meanwhile, have a wonderful Martin Luther King weekend. Be well and try and get laid.